Welcome back. In this particular session, we're going to talk about what do you mean by business valuation and what are the techniques for valuing business. Let us understand what is the motive of valuation in acquisition, evaluate the factors influencing valuation, study the general principles of business valuation and preliminary steps in valuation, understand the methods of valuation, analyze the fair value of shares, study the free cash flows, and the valuation standards and the technology used in business valuation. Now, why valuation? And what do we mean by valuation? So, valuation is done basically to understand what is the value of one share of the company. In the previous chapter, we've talked about different corporate restructuring strategies. When we're talking about restructuring, we want to know if I'm going for an amalgamation, if I'm going for a takeover, or if I'm going to go for any kind of joint venture, or any partnership, any strategic partnership, how should I value the shares of a particular company with whom I am coming together or whom I'm going to acquire? So valuation is basically that particular method which will make you understand what value to attach to the share of that particular company. So why do we require valuation? As we already said that I'm doing valuation to understand how my strategic partnerships could be amounted or what could be the value of them. So basically, there are a few requirements of valuation. Whenever a company is planning to raise capital from the market, that means it comes with new issue of shares. It goes to the capital market for raising funds. It could be through IPO, initial public offer, or private placement. So I want to know how much should I value or how much money should I actually attach to my share to offer it for sale. So as a promoter, I want to know what should be the offer to be given to a company to acquire a share. That's the reason I require a value for the share. To do that value, I'll use different techniques, which we're going to study today in this chapter, to understand how much to charge for each particular share. In case I am an investment banker and I'm planning to acquire a company or I'm planning to acquire a good amount of stake in a company since it's a growing company where I see promising returns for my investors. If that's the case, I will do valuation of that particular company so that I know how much money to invest in that particular company. As a promoter, if I intend to invite strategic investors to come and partner with me, or to come and buy the stake of my company. So as a company, as a company promoter, I will do valuation of my share. I may also do valuation in case I'm investing in any kind of joint venture. The deal would be finalized. What do I get in the table? What the other company gets in table? But the important aspect here is finding the value of share of my company as well as my partner. I may also do valuation of a share when I want to open my company for getting by. So I want my company to be acquired or bought by some bigger company. I'm a smaller company or I want to merge with my competitor or I want my competitor to buy me. If that's the case, I'm doing an open offer, I'll do valuation of my share. I will also do valuation in case I'm going for a buyback or delisting of shares. So if I delist my shares from the market or if I want to buy back my shares, delist means I remove the shares and redeem those shares, or I'm purchasing back my shares from the promoters or from public or from investors who have lent me money. In that case also, I would want to know what is the value of my share. So company may do valuation while it's going for any strategic partnership. Similarly, this strategic partnership could also be a merger or a demerger. So if a company goes for a merger, wants to know at what price the merger should be accounted for. And if I want to split my business units, demerge my company, okay, have my subsidiaries now become standalone. If that's the case, I want to demerge it also. I want to know what is the value of each share of a demerged company. If you look at company law board, on directions of this company law board, a tribunal or authority or arbitration tribunal directs that a company should actually value its share whenever it is going for any kind of sale or transfer of shares as per the articles of association of the company. So legally, the law board also says that such kind of fair value needs to be found out before you go for any kind of sale or transfer. Valuation is also done when you're trying to set up an agreement between two companies. So any strategic partnership, you want to come with an agreement between two different companies. At that particular time in the agreement, a fair value needs to be declared. That fair value could be found out using valuation. It could be also done to assess what is your taxation under the Wealth Tax Act. It also helps a company understand what is the purchase price of the block of shares. So if I have a block of shares which I have given to one of my promoter, for the assessment of my promoter's wealth and to calculate wealth tax on it, I want to know what's the value. Similarly, I also want to understand what is the purchase price in case the company wants to buy back entire 10%, 20% stake from any of its promoter. To value the interest of dissenting shareholders, so I want to know if my shareholders intend to sell me back or they want to leave me, how much money should I pay them back? In case I want to convert my debenture or preference capital into equity shares, valuation is required. Understanding how much money is bare minimum money which they will be ready to accept. In case the company is planning to also advance a loan against any security of shares, I would want to know what is the value of the shares. So as a company, I've decided that I'm going to lend a big chunk of capital to my subsidiary. For doing that also, I need to find out the valuation of my share. So if you look at the Companies Act 1956 or FEMA 1999 or Income Tax Act 1981, as well as SEBI Regulation 2011, they have given regulations and provisions with respect to how this entire valuation should be done and what is the bare minimum value of the share to be attached whenever you are calculating this particular price. So we've understood why valuation, okay, what is the requirement of valuation. And we also understand that it's very, very much important for any investor or any company to know what's the value of one share of that particular company. So this value is not what you see on BSE or NSE. This value is exactly the actual value or intrinsic value of the firm. Now, if that's the case, if I know what's my fair value, I also know what's my market price. I can actually find out whether the company's shares are overvalued in the market or undervalued. And what are my future growth prospects, whether my share price will go up or down. Similarly, let's understand what's the motive of valuation in case a company is going for acquisition. So if a company has already decided to acquire you, or we have mutually decided to go for an acquisition, what are the different motives behind valuation? First biggest motive is completely or entirely financial. I'm doing valuation purely to understand how the asset should be stripped, what would be the taxation norms. You know, when I'm going for a financial restructuring, what kind of agreement would I come to? What are the resources or how the portfolio investment would look like? So it is completely financial. I want to understand, I want to quantify my acquisition based on what price to attach to a particular asset to as per taxation, and what kind of financial restructuring I need to do so that my shareholder do not lose value. Second, when we're talking about motive behind acquisition, okay, motive for valuation behind acquisition, second one is completely business related. I'm a company who's decided to start up a new plant, I'm expanding, or I'm diversifying into different businesses. I'm into consumer goods, I want to even go into auto sector, a complete diversification. So in case I'm going for any expansion or diversification and I'm going to invest my company's capital in that particular subsidiary, then I want to know what is the true value of the share today. So I want to know what is this value of an acquisition in case I intend to even partner with any of the diversified business, or I'm getting into an agreement for expansion, then valuation or true value of my share today needs to be quantified. Third motive with respect to valuation could be any kind of behavioral reasons. Okay, when I say behavioral reasons, this could be personal, you know, person specific. What are a person's, what is a CEO's ambition? How does he intend to grow the company? What are the objectives of the top management? What have they really planned with respect to future of this particular business? And these reasons would force a person or a company to look at valuing of a company. So it could be either financial, it could be business related, or it could be behavioral reasons for you to understand whether you want to stay as a promoter in the company, as part of the top management, or sell off your stake and leave the company. There are other factors also which influence valuation. So we've talked about valuation, why we are doing valuation, what are the motives with respect to valuation. Now, whenever I'm doing a valuation, what are those determinants or those factors which are impacting the value of share of my company? So one of the biggest impact can be seen because of the stock exchange price of the share. Now, there are two companies which are coming for an amalgamation or an acquisition or a joint venture. What is going to impact is the value of share of these two companies in the share market. Whatever valuation we are doing, we said it is internal, it is intrinsic value. Now, let's also understand how do investors in the market actually rate your company. So the stock price of the share of the two companies would have a biggest impact on the value of the company. Okay, so how do you announce the bid? What is the negotiation? This is going to impact or influence the valuation. What kind of dividend both companies have paid to the shareholders till date? Please understand, if you are an offeror company offering it to some other company or offering yourself for sale, and you are a company who has never paid dividend, so the expectation of shareholder, equity shareholder from the acquiring company would be very, very high. They expect that they should be paid more because the dividend was unpaid for the last 1 or 2 years. So how much dividend have you paid to your shareholders also would impact the valuation. What are the relative growth prospects of both the companies? Now, both companies coming together, how they have planned this entire amalgamation or acquisition, after coming together, how the share prices would look, and whether there is really a growth prospect or not. Because when you're coming together, there are a lot of synergies, there could be cost cutting. So whether it's going to impact the growth prospects of the company in future or no, this is what a company's valuation gets impacted. When you're looking at equity shares, relative gearing of the company. Now, what do you mean by gearing? Gearing is nothing but a combination of your preference share capital plus debentures together. Now, this entire value is nothing but determined as gearing. They are those commitments, long-term commitments, which the company has to pay off. So the value of your equity share also depends on how much are both the companies having a total of gearing in the company. So how much is your equity capital and what level of gearing is there in the company also would impact the valuation of the company. In case there is a high gearing, there is a lot of commitment to pay the debt in future. And so the price would be comparatively, it would be comparatively lower if I have to offer you for your share. And so on. So the level of gearing also would impact the value of the share. Coming to other factor, we'll say net asset of the two companies. What are the total assets held by the two companies? How would be the assets valued? What is my total assets minus my liabilities? Whether it is positive or negative? Of course, a positive number is always favorable. That means all my assets are able to, pay off my liabilities in future. So what are the net assets of these two companies and would have an influence on my valuation? Please understand, in an amalgamation, the voting strength would get merged. Now I have equity share of X company and Y company who have come together to form XY company. And so the voting strength of both the enterprises of the shareholders need to be determined. And this would also have an influence on my equity share price. History of prices of two shares of the two companies, maybe last 1 year, what is the highest price, what is the lowest price, what is the mean or an average price. This is also impact on no shareholder would, if you intend to amalgamate and you're going for any kind, you're looking for promoters to stay invested, then you would definitely have to give a price more than what you have been paying. So please understand, with respect to prices, what is going to happen is I am going to pay you something more than the average price in the last 1 year. Else, you as a promoter or investor would leave the company and go. So these are few factors with respect to valuation. Now, whenever a company or whenever you as a company or as an investor wants to go for business valuation, there are some general principles which you need to keep in mind. You need to check these factors before you finally go ahead with the valuation. First general principle of business valuation is, we say value is subjective. What do you mean by value is subjective? I may perceive a company to be very, very valuable compared to you. So value is that particular term. It is quantified based on certain conditions and assumptions. And those conditions and assumptions or those sentiments would be different per se me or per se you. Fine. So valuation becomes a very subjective, subject, as there are a lot of assumptions behind, and I may have a lot of positive assumptions. Comparatively, you may be a little pessimistic. So the value per, calculated by both the entities could be different. Second, valuation assumes that the company is working on going concern concept. Going concern concept means I as a valuer is valuing the company, thinking that the value would stay for lifelong. The business would keep on working. There is no end to this particular business. So cash flows keep on coming and the business keeps on running till eternity is what a going concern concept means. So it says business keeps on running, but business doesn't die. And so value is dependent on this particular aspect, which is another bigger assumption when we are doing business valuation. Third is, you could also go for a market-based approach. What do you mean by market-based approach? If I'm a new company, I don't know how to value my particular share. I'm first time listing my share. I don't have any, I don't understand how my entire business growth prospects would look like. If that's the case, I will look at a similar business in the market and try to understand what is the value of that share of that particular company. Looking at that value of my competitor or of a company of a similar business, I'll value my share. So this kind of valuation is known as market-based approach. I'm looking at similar business in the market and finding out, or estimating what should be the value of my share. Next, you could also do business valuation looking at income-based approach. So we are saying valuation is based on income. If your income keeps on increasing, value of the company keeps on increasing. So instead of looking at what is the asset value, look at how much income can be generated with any such kind of partnership and define the value of the share based on the future income prospects. You could also do valuation based on asset-based approach. When we are talking about asset-based approach, I'm looking at what are my total net assets. So my total assets minus my liabilities to understand my net asset value. And I use that net asset value to find out value of my share. So I'll find out what is value of one share based on my total assets. Valuation date, that means the day on which the value is calculated. Please understand, when we are finding out intrinsic value, it's based on the balance sheet, the value of my assets, which is on a particular date. The value of a company keeps on changing. How? Because the market price, share price is very dynamic. It is changing in few seconds. It's changing every day. So value of a company also keeps on changing per se, which year, which month, or which day have you done valuation. So valuation date means on that particular day, under the scope of whatever you've defined, what is the intrinsic value of the company. So valuation of date has a lot of importance when you do business valuation. When you're also doing valuation, you need to do a risk assessment. Risk assessment means find out the operational risk, credit risk, interest rate risk, or market risk per se to this amalgamation. Using this risk assessment tool, try to assess how the value of the shares would change and find out the right risk and return for the investor. So your intrinsic value now also gets impacted by your risk assessment techniques. We also talk about synergies. Any kind of amalgamation partnership coming together gets a lot of synergies. There are a lot of cost saving with per se. Good amount of market share could be captured. Okay, talking about synergies, whenever two businesses are coming together, there could be a lot of cost saving. There could be a lot of, maybe cost cutting. You'll be able to grab better market share. You'll have operational efficiencies. In that case, a lot of synergy comes. A lot of synergy is coming that is also going to impact the profitability and thus the value of the share of a company. The amalgamated company value could be more compared to an individual standalone company. There could be also discounts and premiums offered. In case a particular company is not doing good and you are acquiring that company, there would be a discount offered on the value of the share. So the value of the share, in the market is say 400. I am okay to, privately place my particular share for 350, give it a discount to my investors, or I may even charge a premium. So I'm acquiring a company which share price is 400 rupees and the company is a highly growth aspiring company. I see that the value of these shares are going to become 1000 rupees. So instead of selling the share for 400, you know, giving the shareholder 400 rupees and buying back the share, I'm going to give 500 rupees and buy back the share of the company. So I may also offer a premium on the particular share. So valuation could also offer a discount or a premium on the share price. Lot of valuations are done based on professional judgments. So you may have legal experts, you could have research analysts, you could have accountants who come together, sit together, work and find out as an expert team what should be the true value of the share. So professional judgment is at times also used to understand what should be the value of the share of a particular company. Transparency and documentation. When we are talking about business valuation, it is important for both the companies to give all the financial information, all the financial records, and these records would be available with all the experts who are actually valuing. So transparency is very, very much important for companies coming together so that a fair value could be found out. And a proper documentation has to be maintained basis of whatever assumptions have been done or whatever have been mentioned in the financial information, if that's true or no. So a lot of good amount of documentation to be maintained and 100% transparency to be kept with the valuers to find out the true value of the share of a company. There are a lot of regulatory and legal compliances which a company would go through. So we already discussed that, you know, SEBI has defined its own regulation. There's a Companies Act which defines its own regulation. In case you're going for a foreign investor, then FEMA has its own regulations. So all these compliances are also going to impact the value of the share. So these are factors or general principles which any company will take into consideration while they are calculating the true value of the share. So let's talk about now, how do I go about valuation? So what are the steps, initial steps, if you want to start doing value for, you know, finding out valuation of share of your company, how would you start this entire process? So first, define what is the purpose of valuation. Why are you finding value of the share? Are you going to go for an acquisition? Are you going for a takeover? Or you want to come with a new issue? What is the reason for you to do valuation? So identify the purpose of valuation. Why the purpose? Based on the purpose, the entire valuation assumptions changes. So purpose should be clearly defined. After you've defined the purpose, start gathering a lot of information. Information from both the companies, financial statements, financial tables, quarterly results, conference call proceedings, management discussion analysis reports. Gather all this information from both the companies. Now, after you've got all the information handy with you, please fix the valuation date. We said it is a lot of importance for a valuation date because I'm going to value the asset based on those date. So find out what's the date or fix a date for doing valuation. After you fix a date, define the scope. Please try to define for what period are you going to do valuation, under what head, and you'll find out the value of the share basis last 3 years, last 5 years. What's the scope of the share price which you're going to consider? So at times, we've seen that there could be a year wherein the share price or wherein a particular companies or the share market has got impacted due to maybe a natural calamity or some kind of hazard, say for example COVID. So in case I'm doing valuation, I'll try to ignore that year and take all other years' data. That will give me a fair understanding. So how would I inform anybody who's looking at valuation? In my scope, that means when I'm saying define my scope, I'm going to mention how many years' data I'm going to take and how this entire working would happen, looking at prices, whether average price, high price, closing price. So I'll mention that in the scope. Once you're clear with the scope, how many years forecast will you consider? Try to select a valuation approach. What are different valuation approach? We'll understand in the next few slides, but you'll use a method. When I'm saying approach, you'll use a method for calculating the value of the share. So looking at that method, now you'll start assessing the data. Check the data availability and also check whether the data is of right quality, whether there are any kind of suspicious things in the data, whether it was 100% fair or transparent or no. So please check the quality of data. Confirm your valuation method. So you've defined your approach, you know which particular approach you want to go with, maybe an asset approach or an earning approach or market based approach. So you've decided based on your asset value or the market value, you're going to determine the value of the share. You've fixed that approach. After you fix the approach, now identify the method. So after you are clear with the approach, please tell me which method of valuation will you use. Fix the method of valuation. Try to do a lot of adjustments with per se assumptions, any kind of changes in the assets which you see, maybe the depreciation price. Consider all these adjustments while doing value of, while actually looking at valuing of your assets or valuing of different multiples which you're going to use. Try to look at what is happening in the industry, benchmark with the peers, benchmark with the sector participants, and look also at economic factors. Economic factors could be geographical. It could be whether you're going for expansion to a foreign country, what's happening per se in that particular country, or economic factors could also be understanding the demand in the home country. So maybe I'm in India, what kind of estimates or how the consumer is moving, whether the spending is increasing, purchasing power is increasing, demand of my product would be there or no. Check for economic factors also, check for industry participants, how do they address what the association says to actually define your assumptions. Based on this analysis, do a risk assessment, have a sensitivity analysis done for the best scenario, worst scenario, and plan your valuation accordingly. Once you're clear with what would, play with the value of different aspects or with the share, try to find out the right discounting rate and multiple. So you may use a weighted average cost of capital, WACC, which we've understood in the cost of capital, or maybe take the highest cost as a discounting factor. So look at market interest rates, look at what is the risk-free rate, what is market return, and determine your discounting rate and your multiples. After defining multiples and after knowing your discounting rate, now start forming a team who's going to do this valuation. So assemble an valuation team, give them all the documents, tell them all the assumptions and methodologies, and take it off for your valuation. So this is the preliminary steps in valuation. Now you're all ready to start the valuation of the company. So you've documented all your assumptions, you know your methodologies, you know your approach, and the team is clear what kind of valuation do you want. So after you're done with this, what aspects will you look irrespective of the quanti number? See, all these aspects are more quantified. There are other things or other factors also which are very important in the preliminary study. If you were to start valuation, especially for a smaller company or a company which is just starting up or a company which is growing, which does not have too many industry peers, doesn't have much competition, then some aspects does change. So I'll say preliminary study of valuation also involves understanding the business history. What kind of analysis are you doing? Whether, who's the management team, who's the chairman, who's the CEO, whether there's a right set of people who are going to manage the business. What have been the profit trends of this company? See, please understand, if I am going to acquire a smaller company or if I'm a bigger company coming up with a smaller subsidiary in some of the business, I really want to know how the profit trends are there of my previous company or the bigger company, and how would actually it impact my current company. So I will check for the goodwill and brand name for a bigger brand, and also change the valuation of shares based on this. So if it is X company, so in India, we see that whenever we see Reliance, okay, whichever part of Reliance industry, Reliance Communication, or anything which says Reliance, the moment it is a Reliance Group company, people have this pre-notion that the share price is going to become double or it may even become three times. Okay, if that's the case, people would definitely find a lot of value because of the goodwill or the brand name. So goodwill and brand name in the market is also going to impact. So this needs to be considered while doing the valuation of the share. Also try to identify what are the economic factors which are directly affecting the business. So we said purchasing power parity. Say for example, I'm an auto company and you're doing value for me. I'm interested how the interest rates in the market are impacting, because those interest rates impact people taking a vehicle on loan. So people, as my customer is primarily looking at buying a vehicle on loan, any change in interest rates are going to impact my vehicle sales. So that's an economic factor which is directly impacting my business. It needs to be studied well. Also try to study what is happening with respect to exchange risk involved. If I am partnering with a foreign company, or there is an FDI or FII flowing in my company, or I intend to set up something outside, abroad, okay, in some other country, then I need to also understand what is the exchange risk involved, how the foreign exchange would get, you know, would be. So I'll say foreign exchange rate should be considered while doing a discounting cash flow. So when I'm calculating my cash flow, this risk needs to be discounted. I also need to understand what is the morale of people. When I say I'm going for an amalgamation, or we're going to merge together, what do my employees feel? Whether they feel positive or negative of any such kind of, any such kind of strategic partnership. Try to also study what is market cap aspects, how market capitalization is changing. What is market cap? Value of your share in the market, in the share market. Total value of all the shares together. So share price multiplied by all my total outstanding shares. How would it get impacted if I go for any such kind of strategic partnership? You need to also calculate that so that your current investors don't feel cheated when you are going for any kind of partnership. The share price should not dip. It should be growing up, and I should feel, you know, very positive as an investor to stay invested in your company. Identify in case either of the companies have any hidden liabilities through a very thorough analysis of the material contracts. So look at all your supplier contracts, all your assets, and see if there are no hidden liabilities of the company with respect to any kind of assets or materials mentioned.